Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. As the rain ends in California, the soil is saturated, which increases the risk of mudslides and sinkholes. CBS's Chris Van Cleve reports.
In Ojai, they're digging out. John Sion rode out back-to-back storms at home.
Could not sleep. You know, I was going out and checking the water levels about every 20 minutes, making sure it's, you know, wasn't going to rise up on me real fast and catch me by surprise.
Now, in some places, damage could take months to fully repair. And because the ground is super saturated, any new rain could bring with it new damage.
President Biden travels to California on Thursday to tour that damage. Authorities are appealing for the public's help in solving the murders of six people at a Central California home yesterday. Tulare County Sheriff Mike Boudreau says the shootings in Goshen were not random.
Go back and look at your home videos. Doesn't matter how far away you were from the scene. Any video evidence that you find suspicious, please contact the Tulare County Sheriff's Office.
Police in Albuquerque, New Mexico, say a Republican candidate who lost his bid for a state House seat in the November elections is the man behind a series of shootings at the homes of elected Democrats. CBS's Skylar Henry.
A SWAT team took 39-year-old Solomon Pena into custody in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Monday. Police called him the mastermind behind a series of shootings targeting the homes of four local Democratic officials that began in December. Police say the former Republican candidate conspired with four men to commit the crimes.
The TSA stopped a record number of guns at airport security checkpoints in 2022, with passengers trying to bring more than 6,500 guns onto planes in their carry-on luggage. More from CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
Keith Jeffries spent 20 years at the TSA. He says new scanners are making identification more efficient.
There are folks that own firearms, and then there are responsible firearm owners. But unfortunately, we're seeing more and more where folks are saying, I forgot it was in my bag.
The TSA requires guns to be unloaded and properly secured in checked luggage. You must also notify your airline.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen appears ready to help Congress deal with the debt ceiling, which she initially warned the U.S. would hit on Thursday. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
The Treasury Secretary is able to take what she characterizes as extraordinary measures to buy some time, to give from this Thursday through likely late spring for there to be negotiations.
A Los Angeles judge has declared that porn performer Ron Jeremy is in cognitive decline and mentally incompetent to stand trial on dozens of rape and sexual assault counts. China records its first population fall in decades as births drop. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Attention all business owners who rent or lease space, including storage space. Stop wasting your money paying someone else for your space. You can now save a ton of money and own your own building with unbelievable extended end-of-year sale prices from General Steel. That's right. Start saving money every month on renting space from others. Just call 888-74-STEEL to see how General Steel can help you save money. Our 50-year structural warranty buildings are custom designed for your needs and save you a ton of money. Call 888-74-STEEL. Steel.
Take it from a successful entrepreneur. If you need to expand or start a new business, you need General Steel.
Great team and the competitive pricing is the reason I went with General Steel.
Call 888-74-STEEL now, and you can get any of our popular quick construction structures, including a 40 by 60 foot building or a 50 by 100 clear span building. Act fast, because for a limited time only, General Steel is extending its end of year savings. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-747-8335. 888-74-STEEL.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, January 18th. In Wood County, the Criminal Justice Task Force will meet at 12 p.m. at the courthouse in Wisconsin Rapids in room 115. The Local Emergency Planning Committee will meet at 1 p.m. at the Wood County EOC in the courthouse. The McMillan Memorial Library Board of Trustees will meet at 5 p.m. in the McCourt Conference Room of the Library in Wisconsin Rapids. In Portage County, the Public Safety Emergency Management Committee will meet at 8 a.m. at the Portage County LEC Training Room. The PCHCC committee meeting will take place at 5 p.m. In Adams County, the Housing Authority will meet from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. at 350 East Liberty Street in Adams. The Arctic Run Model Railroad Show and Sales will hold their annual show on January 21st and 22nd at the Holiday Inn Convention Center in Stevens Point. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at midnight Thursday morning and continues until 6 p.m. Thursday night. 26 overnight under overcast skies, winds out of the northwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy again tomorrow, 33. Snow likely tomorrow night, 27. Cloudy, 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 34.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a thing.
Just what? I want to swear. I want to swear so badly.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Wisconsin, hello, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Green Bay, Oshkosh, Amory, Richland Center, our home base of Waukesha, Madison tonight. If you're streaming, no matter where you are, or if you're listening later, good morning and happy Tuesday, and a very happy Tuesday to you, Jane Matinair.
And to you as well, Kristen Bry, and yeah, Green Bay.
We're not allowed to talk about that.
We're in Green Bay now, right?
Yeah. We're in Green Bay.
Very exciting.
Which is wild. Just expanding the empire.
That's right.
And I'm very excited. And so we'll have probably more information on all of that as this week or even today goes on.
Progresses.
Yeah. And so, but yeah, so we're having fun. The snowstorm is coming. Are we supposed to get the snow down here in southeast Wisconsin?
I think it's going to be more of that nasty mixture. But I think central Wisconsin and certainly Fox Valley and cities in the Fox Valley might be getting some, could be 2 to 4, could be 4 to 6. And it's probably going to be that nice, wet, really heavy stuff because it's not very cold.
Lovely. It's not cold.
Yeah. So we're hoping to have a meteorologist on tomorrow to tell us what's coming.
Yeah. Which we love. We love meteorologists.
Yeah. Weather guys.
But then for today, big housing episode. So if you like housing and if you're either an urbanist or have very strong feelings about the housing shortage that we have in Wisconsin, we're going to talk a lot about it today. It's kind of a theme. But, you know, in Madison, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the issue because Allison Garfield has done a very good job outlining this for the Cap Times. But there is some NIMBYism going on, which... What does that mean? Not in my backyard.
Thank you.
YIMBY being, yes, in my backyard. And so
Does YIMBY ever happen?
Yeah. Oh. I would say, you know, I think if you think of people who proudly self-identify as urbanists, they're typically people who also just self-describe themselves as YIMBYs as far as understanding some of the changes that need to happen in neighborhoods or in cities to make it more walkable, make it more the density. And so, you know, some of these areas that... not necessarily suburbs, but like how towns used to be able to be very walkable and,
right,
and have people closer together. And often now, because people are so tied to the value of their home, which is partially what the only thing that they can have value in, people are very protective over what will increase or decrease the value of their home.
Sure.
And so in Madison, we're going to talk about this more, so I don't want to get too into it, but there is some discussion of new ordinances of trying to curb the crisis there with affordable housing, but there's some people who are not were not very excited about the proposed plan. But then in Milwaukee,
I saw this yesterday too, and I really couldn't believe it.
And it's so interesting. So in Milwaukee, this is from Journal Sentinel, there is a shortage on condos. And we're going to talk about some of the implications of that. But then at the top of the noon hour, we're going to go back in time a little bit to talk about some more historical housing issues and the implications they still have today. We're going to be talking to Professor Derek Handley and Professor Ann Bonds from UWM on their project Mapping Racism and Resistance in Milwaukee County, which is talking about covenants, which were there. I think more and more people know about redlining, which was where the banks wouldn't give approve loans for people of color, particularly black people, for certain neighborhoods. But there was also things in like deeds for houses written into it of who you could sell your house to.
Yeah.
And so they are working on a big crowdsourcing project about that. And then at 12:30, we're talking to Dale Knapp, who is the director of Forward Analytics, the research arm of the Wisconsin Counties Association.
I'm so excited. I have a new song.
Oh, great. on their report, a housing hurdle, demographics drive need for more homes. So if you're a big housing nerd, we're going to talk about a lot of different things. And as always, you can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. But to get started, we're not going to talk about housing. We're going to talk about something else. And the work from home ongoing debate, yay or nay? I'm working on trying to be able to do this show from home, because that would be great. I think, you know, some of the time I would get back to be able to work on some other things would be great. But for now, we've been here. We've been doing the commute and being here in person. And so I feel like I don't know. So this is why I'm bringing this up. There's obviously since the pandemic, so since we're going on year three of the ongoing tug of war between remote employees who, you know, largely, especially white collar office worker
right.
type people who feel more productive and less burnt out by being able to work at home, against their employers who I would imagine are still feeling pretty bad about paying for office space. And there's things that make like leading people to believe that 2023, there's going to be a shift going back to the office more so than there has been. And so the reason why is that there's some major companies that are issuing directives to come into the office for more days, sometimes under the threat of termination. So the biggest one or the most recent one, I would say, now that Disney CEO Bob Iger is back in charge, he recently told the hybrid staff that starting on March 1st, they must return to the office 4 days a week. And then 2 days later, CEO Howard Schultz of Starbucks announced a similar 3-day requirement, expressing irritation that the badge swipe data revealed that employees were not meeting their minimum promise.
Disappointing.
What?
That people aren't telling the truth.
I think that's the thing. It's like this only works, this contract, this like social contract of remote work only works if you're being transparent, honest, communicative,
yes.
Right? You kind of shielding what you're working on or how much you're getting done or saying you're coming in more than you are coming in, I think is where if you lose trust. And this only works if you trust your employees and your employees
trust are honorable.
You and are honorable. And so, but like companies like Vanguard, Paycom, News Corp are also saying they're going to phase out remote work in this year. And, but so it's one thing to be saying, but for so long there was negotiating room because so many other companies were offering remote that, you know, the shift of power because of worker shortages and all of these different, like the Great Recession, not the great, resignation, you know, people were like, a lot of employers, I think, didn't feel like they necessarily had the negotiating power to get people to come back. Well, now it's, there's less and less companies that are actually allowing remote work. So like, even if you threaten to leave, if they don't let you work from home, there's less jobs out there that actually lets you do that. So between February and October 2022, remote job listings fell from 20% to 14% of all listings on LinkedIn.
Wow.
So right now, employers are, you know, more empowered to demand in-office time. And but just as a quick side note, I love the chaos that's still, like, how Twitter's always involved in all of these stories, because at one point Elon put, like, in the San Francisco office, which he's in a lawsuit because he's not paying rent, he put cots in so people could just sleep there, and he was requiring people to come back to work. But then simultaneously, he just recently ordered Seattle employees to work from home as a cost cutting.
Oh, measure. For pity's sake.
So that's a side note. But I feel like I have really mixed feelings on this. As someone who in a past life managed young people who, when, you know, in when I worked for tech, went to the office every day, then for years was freelancing and got to work from home and got to work on my schedule. And I saw what that would be like. And now back in a scenario where even if I could work from home, it's for you and I, it's easier if we're here together.
Like it really is.
If something technically goes wrong. Yep. You and instead of, you know, for anyone who ever watches the live stream, you get to necessarily see the in-between takes that is more information than
anyone should know.
Put on the radio. Yes. We would have to do more of that because I wouldn't be able to just go into your producer booth. But there is the benefit of not having to drive every day, taking out, because as I've said before, I am not a good driver. And so taking out any chance of getting in a car accident and just getting that time back. But I also understand, like, I think remote work only works for more tenured people. Because I keep thinking about how it's, you know, it's one thing to build culture, which I get. It's another thing to how do you train young people to do their job and do it well if they're working remotely? And that's the thing where I feel like, or even onboard people, like it's, maybe they're tenured, but they're new to the company. And so I do feel like, if the only reason a company is requiring you to come back to work is like, well, we're paying overhead on this office, so we might as well take advantage of it.
Yeah.
That's a bad reason.
That's not a great reason.
That's like downsize. Like, but I feel like the other advantages of maybe culture, but I always come back to like the training, coaching, management of new or young employees that you just can't replicate over Slack or Zoom. And like, how do you manage communication if they're bad communicators and if they just don't respond to texts for hours or to G-chats or Slack messages or whatever for hours? Like, how do you do that? And it goes back to like trust, right? And what is the engagement and the relationship you're supposed to have in a work from home situation? So let me know if you work from home and you have strong feelings about why it works and why companies that can have people work from home should still do that. I'd love to hear from you. Or if you're in the camp of it's time for everyone to go back to work, I would love to hear from you too. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things, even committed some crimes.
but I'm not a criminal.
I work for youth advocate programs, I was Tamani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, and get a job.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration and neighborhood violence. Youth advocate programs. Learn how at yapinc.org.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
For Progressive Talk, from Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. We're talking about companies making decisions of asking or demanding employees to come back to work. But quickly, before we get back to that conversation, speaking of another opportunity for companies to make decisions, small companies in Wisconsin should likely, and it would behoove them to make the decision to take part in Civic Media's $1 million ad giveaway.
Oh, yes.
So quick plug for that. We are a growing, still growing, as we said. We just are now live in Green Bay. Civic Media Network with radio stations all across the state. But we're new. And so we have free ad space that we want to give to small businesses across Wisconsin to see the benefit and what how much value that advertising across our network can provide to your business. And so this is your chance to work with Civic Media and our sales team to create radio advertising to promote your business for free. So save the application date on Thursday, January 26th only.
One day only.
One day only.
Yep.
Mark your calendars. It's going to start at 9 a.m. The application will go live, and you can find it on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You can also find it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, where all the full details are. So check it out. Mark the date, 9 a.m., Thursday, January 26th. But this is the important part, because as we know, I'm a very competitive person. You know how competitive I am?
How competitive are you?
My friend Heidi Dalibor, who owns New Barons Brewing, had a blood drive yesterday, and I was one of the last people to do it. My husband was already there. Multiple people had gone. And as soon as they prick me to start giving blood, they tell me that there's been a contest to see who can fill up their bag the fastest.
Oh, I've done that.
I won.
Good for you.
5 minutes. 5 minutes, 4 seconds. I got done, and I said, did I win? And they said, you were the fastest all day. So that's how competitive I am. So this is not truly a competition, but it's a friendly competition inside the Civic Media network of our hosts. So for this giveaway, be sure to tell them that you heard it from As Goes Wisconsin, Jane Matinere, and Kristen Bry. And that's who got you there.
Because otherwise, God knows what she'll do.
I need to win this.
Yes,
I need this.
Apparently so. There could be blood involved.
I'm just kidding. I'm being a little, I'm exaggerating just a little bit.
Okay.
All right. So back to our conversation around remote working. I'm guessing you've never worked remotely.
No.
You don't even know the luxury of it.
Well, that was never possible.
No, I know.
You know, for the longest time. And then during the pandemic, they figured out a way for some hosts to stay home. But there are still some of us who need the equipment that we have at work in order to edit and record things and you know, do stuff like that. So, no, it's never really been an option for me. And I think, especially as you were talking before about younger people, I just worry that if they're not around role models is maybe a stretch, but someone to show them what a work ethic looks like.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we're born with that. I wasn't born with that. Maybe some people are.
I don't know if it's nature versus nurture. Like, I think I have my work ethic from my parents. Like, I don't sit still well. And I think both of my parents are like that as far as they're constantly doing. And right. So, like, my weekends, unless I'm sick or hungover, like, I'm not going to just be, like, just sitting on the couch. Like, I need to be doing stuff. And so I think some of it, I don't know if you're born with it, but I certainly think that it can be something instilled in you by your parents or how you're raised. But, you know, I was talking in between the breaks yesterday when David Haynes was here, and he was talking about, you know, early on in his journalism career, the working on the evening paper,
right,
and the grind, how fast you had to work, how long the hours you had to work, and just the grind of it. And, you know, and I commiserated with my first job out of school was cold calling. And it wasn't cold calling for a product. It was cold calling for, like, Salesforce services.
Yeah, something kind of airy-fairy.
And, you know, you had to make 75 calls a day, and you were measured on how many meetings you booked. And at this point, this was like 2011, a lot of people didn't even know what Salesforce was. And, like, have, like, hundreds of thousand dollar budget to not only implement Salesforce, but then hire consultants to come implement it for you. And so, like, I hated that job, but it made me not afraid to pick up the phone.
True, I'm sure.
And I think that there's this gray space between a better work-life balance and healthier working, like, relationships with your bosses, with your work. But also, if you never kind of have to go through that job of, like, what expectations are and what the grind is and what the kind of the not even data entry, but kind of some of the grunt work to hone your skills. Like, I don't know how you're ever going to get better at your job. And if you don't have someone giving you feedback on how to be better at your job.
Right.
And I just think that's really hard to do over Slack. Cause then you're like, things get lost in translation and feelings can get hurt over things that are texted and like, instead of a really good coach, who can like give you a compliment sandwich. So I don't know. Like, I feel like I don't, it depends on the circumstances of the employees. I think where the push and pull of remote work works. And I think for more tenured employees who don't, there's not a lot of collaboration, there's not a lot of training, there's not like a feedback loop that needs to happen, let them work from home. But then it just becomes maybe unmanageable of everyone's on different plans.
Well, and again, I think for some of the younger kids who are in the workforce, new to the workforce, not all of them are self-motivated.
No.
They may think they are. I can do this. I'll get, yeah, and then they go home and it doesn't happen. Saying you're something and actually following through with it are two entirely different things.
Yes, I would agree with that. All right. Well, we're going to wrap up this conversation for now. When we come back, we're going to kick off an hour and a half of housing talk, which is really nerdy, but I'm excited about it. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM. From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Have you been trying to figure out how to finance your education? Let's be honest. The cost of college these days is staggering. If you have strong academic and leadership skills, you may be eligible for a scholarship from the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Every year, the Elks National Foundation awards more than $3.3 million in scholarships that range from 1 to 4 years. So pick up an application today at your guidance counselor's office or your local Elks Lodge. To find the lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. High school seniors, would you like to avoid student loans? Parents, would you like to give your child a better future without mortgaging your own? Well, a $60,000 Elks scholarship may just be your ticket to the college of your choice. Each year, the Elks National Foundation and your local Elks Lodge provides millions of dollars in college scholarships to high school seniors. If you're interested in learning more about the Elks scholarship opportunities, visit our website at elks.org. Elks care, Elks share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Club, number 693.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
What if one day you went to your secret hiding place, you know, that spot that only you know about, and instead of what you came for, you found something a little different? What if instead of your private stash, you found a simple phone number, 1-800-662-HELP? What would you do? Would you stop and give it some thought? Would you make the call? The truth is, all drug use comes with risk. Before those risks become real, before drugs turn your life upside down, before drugs take their toll on you and your family, know that there is help. You can quit. If you or someone you love is struggling with drug use or prescription drug misuse, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, or go to samhsa.gov/thereishelp.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Badger Institute commended the flat tax legislation proposed by Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu. They say Lemahieu's proposal will be beneficial for almost all businesses. They claim it will produce long-term economic growth and opportunity and benefit all Wisconsinites. Lemahieu's proposal would phase in a flat income tax rate of 3.25% by 2026. Governor Tony Evers said he would block the plan as it benefits the wealthy over the middle class. Low and middle income earners would see little to no relief, while the wealthiest earners would see their tax rate cut in half. A Texas brewery is canceling a scheduled rally featuring Kyle Rittenhouse. The Illinois man was acquitted of homicide charges in Wisconsin related to the Kenosha riots of 2020. Officials with Southern Star Brewing say the so-called rally against censorship doesn't reflect their values. Rittenhouse says he's disappointed. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at midnight Thursday morning and continues until 6 p.m. Thursday night. 26 overnight under overcast skies, winds out of the northwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy again tomorrow, 33. Snow likely tomorrow night, 27. Cloudy, 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
Where you find podcasts, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, just search for As Goes Wisconsin and you can subscribe and get us to your inbox. I don't know what it's called when you subscribe, but like the, so you get your, all of your podcast that you listen to daily. If it comes, I'm going to call it an inbox.
Okay.
Sure. And a reminder that you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And you said that we had a text, Jane?
We do, from the 414, checking in, talking about remote work, which we did in the last half hour. Remote work has its value, but not for everyone. A worker needs to keep that high motivation up constantly. Some jobs after an initial training period, like field orders, call centers, some logistics can be successful rather as remote work. A good remote worker is a special worker, highly organized and rarely distracted. Definitely not me, but I am aware of some that are doing a good job and prefer it. Thank you so much, 414.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is, I think it depends on the work. Like, I think, you know, I know the endless amounts of meetings and just having meetings to have meetings is not always the best use of people's time. And certainly there's ways that you get distracted at an office because people want to chit chat.
Yep.
And people come by, stop by your desk. And so some people, I believe them when they say they're more productive at home. But again, it just, I think it comes back to what is the goals of the company? What does the team actually do? How much training and coaching does the team, does the different teams or people on those teams need? Because there just is a black box that when things start to not work as a manager, you don't even know where to begin to diagnose why it's not working.
Yeah.
Is it lack of understanding? Is it lack of work ethic? Is it, you know, because you don't want to be tracking people. Because obviously every time you ever hear those stories about companies that put in little trackers on computers to be like, how many breaks did you take? How many times was it like 15 minutes that your mouse didn't move? Like, that stuff seems really weird.
I agree.
And totally way too draconian. But also, if you as an employer are taking advantage of your employer and not actually working the amount that you're supposed to be working,
well, and the one
why
thing,
do you deserve to work from home?
Right. And the one thing that you said earlier that really kind of struck me, how can you not respond to messages? There are 4 million ways now that we send messages, emails and texts and pings, which I now know what they are. Yes. And
I don't know if that's a technical term. That's just what, when I first started
working, I'm going with ping.
Pings when you like G-chatted someone or like it was like you're kind of like pinging someone instead of shooting an email. It's like a quicker.
It's a chat feature.
Yeah. It's like a chat thing.
But again, there's no excuse for not responding to those within 10 or 15 minutes, I would say, unless you're, I don't know, you've been abducted.
Or sometimes if you're taking a breath before you want to respond.
Well, there's that, but you can't wait 2 hours. It's like,
yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it's, I don't have it was interesting because on the way in today, there was another person on a different radio station talking about this. But that person is also in the business of commercial real estate.
Oh,
so they have a much stronger feeling about people going back to work than I do.
Oh my God, we're stuck with all these buildings. What are we going to do with these buildings?
What's going to happen to my industry if people aren't going back to work? So that's a different perspective to have on the whole thing when your livelihood depends on people going back to the office.
Right. But there is also certainly municipalities have to be concerned. If remote work becomes the thing of the future, what is going to happen to this tax base that they've been counting on with all of these big business buildings downtown?
Yeah, and I mean, it goes back to our conversation we had with Omar Sheikh from Third Street Marketplace last week as far as, and I was just there last night.
Good jamming. It's hopping.
But, you know, the density and like the feeling of when you go to work down in downtown Milwaukee, the foot traffic, the people who are in their office and kind of that bustling feeling of being in a downtown area only happens if all of a sudden there was a bunch of more condos and apartments down there. But without that, if people are actually going to the office and on their lunch breaks or happy hours and everything, they're walking around downtown Milwaukee. So speaking of condos, it's a good segue. There's not a lot of condos in Milwaukee anymore.
I couldn't believe it when I saw this article yesterday. I was really surprised by that.
So do you and Paul have any interest in ever like leaving your home for like less work and living in a condo?
We've talked about it. Definitely.
Because you know, as a new homeowner, a house is a lot of work.
Yes, it is.
A yard is a lot of work. Especially, and for you guys, since you don't have kids, it's never that you had too much of a house that then, you know, the kind of cyclical nature of young families getting a big enough house to have a couple kids mm-hmm. in it. And then when those kids are gone, at some point feeling like this is too much house for us to keep up between just cleaning, but let alone maintenance and actual, you know, fixing things, but the yard stuff that you always in the summer love to complain about, that you just wish everything would die at a certain point when the summer comes.
It's time.
And so it makes sense. It makes sense that and then it also makes sense for other people who just don't want a house, but they would like to own, because paying exorbitant and ever rising rents also doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
This is so interesting to me because in reading this article, so this was, I don't know if it was investigative, but it was a deep dive by Genevieve Redston of Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And the article is, "No one wants to build condos. Milwaukeeans want condos, but can't find many. Here's why condominium construction dried up." And largely, I mean, to really be blunt, I mean, not blunt, but just like summarize it a lot, is it's not profitable.
I don't understand why it would not be profitable.
Well, as far as I understood this article. So, I mean, if you can't go anywhere, like almost every Milwaukee neighborhood, and I'm sure that there is other cities across Wisconsin that are more metropolitan that have the same thing. There's apartment, like luxury apartment, apartments. There's always a new one getting constructed. Like the Ascent building, the Timber building, just finished and literally two blocks down across from Victor's, right by in between the
Pick
and the Metro Mart on Van Buren. That one's not done yet, but that's next. And I know in Walker's Point, there's more going up. And so
only rentals.
Only rentals.
Oh, so they can keep jacking up your rents.
It's more profitable for these developers to be building apartment complexes, but largely it seems like because when you own something, the propensity for condo owners, when something goes wrong, like a structural problem with the building, will sue you versus someone who's renting. And I think like the homeowners association or the condo association or whatever those are, like those are called, as far as the power of we own part of this versus the lack of tenant
buy-in. Yeah.
And so, but it's not even just the developers, it's also the banks. And so like the return on investment has largely been not there to incentivize people, at least this is in Milwaukee, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is a lot of places, because why would it just be Milwaukee and not other towns that it's more profitable for developers to put their money into making apartments than condos? But a lot of, you know, if once you pay off your mortgage, do you really want to go back to paying $2,500, $3,000, $4,000 a month in something that you don't own?
No. And I also think if their business model is to assume that people will continue to pay higher and higher and higher rents for the same thing, you're going to run out of those people who can afford that.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a whole bunch of empty properties. My husband and I don't think we could pay $2,400 a month for something. I wouldn't, let me put it this way, I would not pay $2,400 a month.
Which then goes into more baby boomers not leaving their homes.
Right.
Which then exacerbates the problem of people my age and younger not having enough single family homes to buy because baby boomers are not leaving their homes. And so this is a conversation that we're going to continue talking. I'm excited to ask Dale Knapp how this plays into all of that. Because both of these, this story and the Madison story, I think, directly go into the conversation we're going to have at 12:30 about the new report from Forward Analytics based on how many more houses we need. Even with the declining population or the stagnant population of Wisconsin, we're still, within this decade, like 140,000 housing units short.
That's just crazy.
So we'll bring in some of these questions to that conversation later in the show. But the other one I want to squeeze in is this conversation that's happening in Madison, which is different because I feel like the condo thing, you're like, whose responsibility is it to build condos? You know, it's up to the discretion of developers who feel like they can make a profit from it. And so what are the pushes and pulls and incentives to like make it more appealing for developers to do that versus this conversation around zoning that's happening in Madison? Because Madison, I would say, is at it even, because Madison's population is growing faster than Milwaukee's.
All of Dane County.
All of Dane County. And similarly, a lot, especially the historic neighborhoods, they're all zoned for single family homes. And not only single family homes, but my mom and I were talking about this last weekend as we were driving through Milwaukee. So we grew up in Nacoma, which only people who met from Madison or spent time in Madison probably know where that is. But, you know, it's a nice neighborhood. And similar to like Shorewood in Madison, you know, some of the plots of lands in some of these neighborhoods and how they were built are so much bigger than Milwaukee. So like even in like Whitefish Bay or Shorewood, which I know is not technically Milwaukee, but you know what I mean? So
yes.
Like the plots in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, side to side, there's not a lot of room between each house, right? So it's really kind of like ducks in a row versus kind of, and maybe it's the landscape of Madison and the rolling hills and it's an isthmus and it's a swamp and all this stuff and the arboretum is protected and all this stuff. So I mean, I'm sure as far as the urban development and how the cities were built, there was differences, but there is the lined houses in most of the neighborhoods in Milwaukee County is a very different feel than how it feels in Madison.
Lots more room in Madison.
More like yards are bigger, I feel like. And, you know, and Madison being the lefty liberal city, like Madison's much more lefty than Milwaukee. And yet there's every once in a while these stories that pop up of Madison homeowners who aren't quite as collectivists as maybe their voting habits would make it seem. A little bit more rugged individuals that are very attached to their, you know, value of their home.
And I want it to stay this way.
Then we tend, you'd think, versus the liberal nature sometimes of the rhetoric that talks in theory about things in Madison versus when the rubber hits the road of how people actually feel about their part in solving this affordable housing crisis. And it's not even building in these historic districts. It's not even building like skyscrapers. Because first of all, I think the zoning in all of Madison is nothing can be taller than the Capitol, right?
That seems reasonable.
And so it's not, you can't even build up that much, but adding units in basements, adding a little cottage in the back, adding things so more than just one family home can sit on a plot. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more when we get back about some of the pros and the cons and this fight that's happening over there when we get back from the break. But there's a lot of people who are not very happy about it. Not in my backyard. All right, we're taking another break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Say that I was raised on romance. Let's not get stuck in the past. I love your mom and everything in the world. I don't expect that will last. They told me everything was guaranteed. Somebody, someone must have lied to me. One of these days I'm gonna pay it back. One of these days. One of these days.
The lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists in their own words.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that we love hearing from you. If you have a topic or a guest that we should have on, shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. And so for now, we were talking, this is the housing episode. This is the first time we're doing like a full theme for one topic. And it just kind of worked out that way. It wasn't necessarily planned ahead. But we are talking about, well, we're talking about condos in Milwaukee. And then we transitioned to talk about in Madison. There is a debate, I think it's a tense debate, over efforts to add housing within this quarter mile of Madison's new bus and rapid transit line. And, you know, some homeowners in this historic district are hoping to block the development of duplexes in their neighborhood. And so it's this idea of transit-oriented development. And it's basically the idea of creating compact, pedestrian-oriented, mixed-use communities that are very available to the transit system. So you don't necessarily have to have a car. And this, a lot of this comes back to zoning. And I remember first learning about the problems with zoning in a debate around rent control and having lived in many cities that have rent control. Wisconsin does not, as far as I understand, right? No. San Francisco notoriously does, and that's a place that certainly has had a housing crisis. And, you know, the incentives that creates is for people to never, as I did, never leave their house. And I remember having this debate of, like, how rent control actually has, like, perverse incentives and all this stuff. And it was the first time they were like, the real problem is zoning. And the fact that there's all these plots all over the country, but certainly in Wisconsin, that could house more people on each plot than they currently are zoned for. And so we're going to talk about more with this with in the 1230 segment with Dale Knapp. But I think it brings the bigger conversation around, like, whose responsibility is it to help solve this problem? You know, like when we talk about with the condo stuff, if it's not necessarily going to turn a profit, what should we have the expectation that developers should still build condos just because it's good for society? In this situation for Madison, should homeowners be open to being a part of the solution versus you know, their stake and what their retirement might be wrapped up in is the value of their home, because that's what we've decided as a society is like the biggest way to build wealth is home ownership. And the ups and downs of the housing market basically decide what your like
how lucky wealth, you're gonna get.
What your wealth is.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, it's just a bigger question as far as like, whose job is this? And I don't want to always just come down on the people who are NIMBYs for the exact reason I just said. It's like, if your long-term financial health is tied to the value of your house, yeah, no wonder you don't want to do anything that would diminish that. But I also am not convinced. I don't know what studies have been done or what data there is to discuss how adding duplexes would directly correlate with the house being of less value. Have you ever read anything about that?
I haven't.
Is that just an urban legend that people adhere to when they think about the value of their homes?
I think it's more of, if it's a duplex, then there are going to be kids and teenagers, and with that comes problems, and that'll bring problems into the neighborhood, and noise, and broken windows with thrown baseballs. I'm just spitting.
I was going to say, I don't know. Like, if anyone's out there and would like to let us know why this is so important, because I think sometimes when it gets talked about of things that would help the city, whether it's here, whether it's Green Bay, whether it's Madison, like in all these different places where there's competing interests in adding something that would change housing situations, but also, you know, concert venues and some of the conversations around like things that are going to get implemented and people who don't want it around their condo. I mean, the last one that I'm thinking about is the Live Nation concert venue that's now going to be next to the Fiserv, but at one point was suggested or was proposed to be next to Summerfest, and all of those Third Ward condo people being like, nope.
Don't want it.
Next to Summerfest. How are you so upset about this? And, you know, to a certain extent, if you want room and you want some of the, like, comfort of that, of not having next in, like, mixed-use type areas, why don't you live in the suburbs?
Well, this is a problem that's not going to go away.
No.
And the fact that we still need more workers. So we're going to encourage people to come here to work, and we can't put them anywhere.
Or at least put them where, in the same vicinity of where they work.
Work, right. I mean, look at David Haynes, who came out yesterday from Milwaukee. It took him 2 hours on the bus.
I know.
I know he did a brief coffee stop, but still, he didn't do that for an hour.
Yeah.
You know, that's just not feasible.
No. And so it just, I mean, I think there's something there, and it's probably not the last time we're going to talk about it, of like, who's responsible for some of these bigger issues? And like, how is it just you just bulldoze them through and you say, sorry, you know, because this is going to come, the Madison things they're voting on today.
Oh, they are.
Yeah. So the story that Allison Garfield wrote, which you can see in the Cap Times, Madison housing debate heats up over higher density near bus lines. It's on the Cap Times. She wrote that on Saturday, and the city council meeting today is, they're going to vote on it. So I don't know enough about the makeup of Madison City Council to know how this is going to go, but it sounds like when you read this, yeah, there's certainly not a consensus. This is not going to be a unanimous vote. But I just, and I don't know. I don't know what the zoning, as it becomes the opportunity for then the people who own, so it's like when they talk about cottages or basement units or things like that, is it the responsibility of the homeowner to build that on their land? So it's an opportunity for them that you, if
have
you
a little rental property,
if you didn't want it on your land, then you wouldn't have to have it. I don't know. I feel like there's more questions. Maybe we'll have to get Allison on. I know she was on with Dan Schaefer a couple weeks ago, and so maybe we'll have her come on and talk more about this, especially after the vote comes down today. But for now, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, let's go back in history. Some more historical housing issues that are still plaguing us today. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County.
WFHR Wisconsin Stability. Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.